Water World. We're in the Water World series, and that's where we're going to be heading today. We're going to be talking about water. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, we didn't talk much about water. About nowadays, you know, everyone's carrying a bottle of water. You know what I mean? Like this one here. Am I still cutting out? It doesn't sound like I'm in all the time. If I handle a hole like this, it's going to be a real pain for me, but I'll do it. That needs to happen. I'll try not to move around so much. Okay. Now that probably worked. That probably works now. But anyway, everyone's always with the water thing. I got to retract. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you just regroup me here, Father, and we just start all over. So, God, we just ask a blessing upon a new start, and we just get rolling here. So, God, thank you, and I ask your blessing upon this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we go. Okay, the water bottle. Can't move. Got to stay here. Darn it. That really restricts me. But anyway, the water bottle, when I was a kid, we never carried around a water bottle. Well, yeah, Marty's shaking her head. She knows. Water was not emphasized so much. Now, Kool-Aid was, and the sweeter the better, the Kool-Aid, but not a water bottle. And today it's amazing how things have changed for us. You know, now everyone carries a water bottle. I carry a water bottle. I need it when I'm running and stuff like that, but everyone carries a water bottle. How many have a water bottle in here today sitting beside them? Yeah, there's a lot of them here. Nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with that, but I'm going to sit mine down now because I really don't need it. I just needed to use it as an emphasis for today's message. I got to readjust everything now. Okay. There we go. So anyway, water. Water World. Today's message is Spring Up, O Well. And it's a beautiful message, and it would take about an hour and a half, maybe most of the day, to bring out everything that's in this message today, but I still want to emphasize the water bottle just for a little bit. Now, I knew that we need water to quench our thirst. Am I right? We need that water. So I figured today, instead of putting a generic water bottle up, I'd put a religious water bottle up in front of you here. And here we have Jesus Never Thirst Again. You see the cute little titles on there. I've Been Sun-Kissed, you know, and all those cute little things. But the reason I put them up there is it's a life-sustaining thing that we need for our bodies. And here's why. Here's a few instances. Did you know that 66% of the human body is made up of water? That's a lot of you made up of water. 71% of the earth's surface is covered by water. Imagine that. Over a lifetime, this is a fact I couldn't really get into my head. 1.5 million gallons of water you'll drink over a lifetime? That's a lot of water. Woo! You can't live more than 3 days, some do, without water. You can live for weeks without food. But water is so life-sustaining that you need it to live longer than 3 days. Water facilitates weight loss. This I got pressed upon me when I was in The Biggest Loser. You know, the more water you drink, the fuller you feel, the more you wash things out of your system. Water helps you lose weight. Okay. And it also helps with your mental concentration. And that's sometimes some of the reason why I don't think it's straight, because I don't drink enough water. So if you're getting that part of me that you think I'm sort of a little out there one day, it's because I didn't have enough water. Okay, so remember that. And it cleans and refreshes. Cleans and refreshes. You know how good a hot shower feels after you mow the lawn on a 90-degree day? Yeah, feels great. You know how good a cold glass of water feels after you run a 5K? Well, I do, but anything you do, a cold glass of water after you mow the grass, after a hot day, after just getting up in the morning, a cold glass of water tastes really good, doesn't it? And I guess water doesn't really have a taste, but it really quenches your thirst. This is where we find Jesus today. We find Jesus needing a drink of cold water. He just, him and his disciples have had a little altercation in Judea, and they are heading out of town, and they get to Samaria, and we're going to read about that in the story today. But he's looking for a cold glass of water, and a little more than that as the story goes. But I ask you to open your Bibles to John 4, verses 4 through 14, and we're going to go through that pretty quickly. But we're going to read through it first, and then we're going to dissect it a little as we go through the message. So here we go. Now we had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, it was around noontime. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with the well from the well. It is too deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his son and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to the eternal life." There's a lot going on in this story here. Okay? First off, Jesus and his disciples are asked to leave Judea in a nice way. In verses 1 through 3, you can read there that they were getting harassed by the Pharisees for baptizing people in Judea. So what they did was they took this little route here. They headed out of Judea. Jesus took the whole group and headed out to Galilee to continue baptizing folks. And to get there, he took the shortcut. Jesus did. Okay, in the Jewish traditions, they wouldn't go through Samaria, and I'll get into a little more of that later on. They would go around Samaria, and they would do this little roundabout. Let's see if I can get it up here. There we go. They would head out, cross the Jordan, go up through, and cross the Jordan again, not in Samaria, but up here in Galilee. And they would it would take them 6 days. The other rabbis, who didn't want to go through Samaria because that was a forbidden zone for the Jewish folks. So Jesus decided, no way, it's going to take me 3 days if I go straight through and go right through Samaria. And he had some other things on his mind as well that was going to happen along the way. But he took that shortcut, and there's three divisions of Palestine during the New Testament time. And it's Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, those three areas. And they're about 120 miles apart from north to south. So it's not a great distance, but a long enough distance. So just to give you an idea of what's going on there and the distance between things and what rousted Jesus and his crew to leave. And Jesus could have stayed, but he just didn't want to deal with that right now in his ministry. He had things to do. So they headed up on their way to Galilee through Samaria. That's where we are right now. Long story short, he went through the forbidden zone, already breaking the rules of the Jewish traditions. He went into Samaria, the forbidden land. So remember that as we go through here. And as we're dissecting this, he asked the Samaritan woman, "Will you give me a drink?" And this is the way Jesus uses things in his parables. You know what I mean? When he talks about things that people know that are not too confrontational, Now, how can water and a drink be confrontational? But it is a good conversation starter to talk about something the people know. The people know about water. They know how life-sustaining it is. So why not start a conversation with this lady that's coming up to draw water at 12 noon when most people don't during that day? So Jesus starts that conversation. He initiates it this way. He's already breaking some rules, and he's going to break a few more as we go. But he's not breaking God's rules. He's breaking man-made rules. So remember that as we go, too, because we know Jesus is perfect. He doesn't break rules. He helps us see the rules that God has made for us. So here's how that conversation goes. He initiates the conversation with the Samaritan woman. Okay, we read about that. He brings up the conversation. She doesn't talk to him. He addresses her and asks for that drink of water. Now here's what we got to remember with Jesus breaking down some barriers and things as we go. First, it's a woman. Now again, Jesus is talking to a woman in public. Rabbis don't do that. They just don't do that. And here he is talking to a woman in plain daylight. I mean, they do in private, but not out in front. So he's breaking that rule. Man-made rule now, remember. And here's another one. He's talking to a Samaritan woman. It's bad enough he's talking to a woman. No disrespect intended there. But back then it was. And he's talking to a woman. He's talking to a Samaritan woman. Now, Samaritans back in that time, even centuries later, they're still holding this grudge that the Jewish community and the Samaritans still have this feud going on, this barrier between them that happened in 720 B.C. Can you believe it? Centuries before, and this grudge and this hatred is still alive and well centuries later. In 1720 B.C., the Assyrians, and this is how it all happened. I'll give you a little snapshot of that. The Assyrians conquered the northern part of Samaria. Okay, and what happened back then when a nation captured another nation, they hauled the people away from their motherland. They hauled them away, except for a few, and they took them to, in this case, Media. So that's what happened here. The Assyrians took all these people away. What happened in Samaria was the Samaritans started intermarrying. They were marrying foreigners, Gentiles. They were marrying just anyone that they could marry, I guess, that wasn't of the Jewish faith. Now, this was a big no-no. This is an unforgivable crime in the Jewish traditions, in the Jewish faith. And that is what started this feud between the nations. So the Samaritans were, at that point, cut off. When you do something like that, you're considered dead. You just do not. It's sort of like shunning or anything like that. But it's even worse than shunning because you're considered dead. It was so bad, this feud, that when Nehemiah went back to build the wall, they went to help. The Samaritans went to help. And they needed so much help to build the wall back when Nehemiah was building the wall that they turned them away. They turned the Samaritans away because they were not of the faith anymore. They were dead to the Jewish faith because of that intermarrying and things that went on there. So this is how big a thing it is when we talk about this. This was a big deal. This was really big deal. Talking to a woman, talking to a Samaritan woman. And then third, there's a third thing here too. Talking to a woman with a pretty shady background, a pretty shady history, an adulterous woman, a woman who has many husbands. You know, so Jesus is like, bang, 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 breaking down the walls. But he's still talking and having a conversation with this person, trying to be her friend, being kind to her, confronting her with things that she needs to see in her life, and standing before her as the Messiah, which she doesn't know. So there's a lot happening through here. And you see, as Jesus, you and a Jew and I a Samaritan woman, how can you ask me for a drink? Now, even this woman was wondering, what in the world? This Jewish rabbi is asking me for a drink of water. After she knows the history, She knows about the coming Messiah. She knows all these things. But she also knows about this feud that separates them. And she just couldn't understand why this Jew would be talking to her. He was opening a door. He was opening that door that separated these two groups for so long. Jesus was just opening that door. He was breaking down barriers, breaking down a whole lot of barriers. He was attempting to open the eyes of the Samaritan woman. He was being kind. He was being gracious. He was listening. He was doing all those things that a person would do who really loves and wants to touch a person's life. You see, Jesus answered her, and here's how he answered her. If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh living water. But she doesn't see who's before her. Jesus is offering her fresh living water. And she doesn't understand. Frankly, I don't know if I would have at that point either. With what she's been going through, I don't know if you would have. If Jesus would walk up to you and say this identical same thing. If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink. And I would give you fresh living water. Again, the statement is misunderstood, or she just didn't get it. And this is what she comes back with. She says, you have nothing to draw water with. She's talking about the practical thing. You do not have a bucket with you. Now, back in the day, everyone carried a leather bucket with them, similar to this one here. They didn't leave their bucket at the well like you see in different pictures and things like that. The things were expensive. They were hard to come by. And you'd bring your own bucket, leather bucket. And see, what happened was probably Jesus didn't have this bucket for many, multiple reasons, but the disciples probably took it when they took off to get food for them in a Samaritan town. I think that was an interesting note, too. Just a side note there that the disciples were also breaking barriers down. They didn't even realize that they were going to a Samaritan town for food. They just were hungry and were going for food. So the barriers were starting to melt away from this feud of centuries and centuries. But we're back here at the well. And the woman again goes to the practical side and talks about needing a bucket. And Jesus says, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. And he brings up another statement and puts it again in front of her. And he brings it to her and just again says the same thing he's been trying to tell her. And in a kind way, trying to get her to see who's before her. And still, she does not get it. He reshapes the statement again, Jesus, everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again, and anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. And from Eugene Peterson, I like the way he put it, the water I give you will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. Now, if you know what artesian spring is, it's one of these things, it's not a geyser, but it's a continuously bubbling up artesian spring. It just keeps flowing and flowing and bubbling and bubbling. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. And this is what Jesus is offering this Samaritan woman. This beautiful, beautiful fountain will bubble out of her when she takes a drink of the living water. Now he's trying to reveal the true thirst to her. The woman says to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep drinking and come into this well to draw water. Now, I think what happened here was she's just giving Jesus maybe a little sass. You know, it's like, okay, I heard all the stories. I heard everything. You know, okay, give me the water and then I won't have to draw anymore. And again, the statement was misunderstood. And then Jesus reveals right before her eyes. Jesus says, go, call your husband and come back. Her eyes were open. Jesus compels the Samaritan woman to discover and face it for herself what is holding her back. It's her life, the sin that she's had, the five husbands that she's had. And she reveals that she has no husband, but Jesus knows her life. And now she knows, Jesus knows her life. But you see how Jesus did that in his usual way of teaching? You know, he just keeps kindly bringing that, talking and listening and just digging deeper. And he doesn't give up because he wants her to see the light. He wants her to drink of the living water, and he just keeps going to her and kindly just trying to, you know, get her to grasp what he's talking about. And finally, she does. On her own, through his encouraging, she figures it out. And that's how Jesus does his most effective work. He keeps encouraging you, keeps digging, keeps coming at you. And the only way Jesus can to reveal what needs to be revealed before you. The transformation towards salvation begins, the revelation of sin in our life, the revelation that the traveler is a prophet and knows all about her life. And the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Right there before her eyes was the Messiah. Now, I don't know if she even gets it yet. I really don't know if she still gets it. Because the cool thing about Jesus is this. Was and is with Jesus is his eyes don't rest on the crustiness of our exterior. And we're all a little crusty. All right? We are a little crusty. But he looks deep into our hearts. He knows what's in here. He knows what we have that needs to be exposed. Jesus just doesn't look at the crust. Jesus knew when given a taste of the living water, the crust would be washed away. And the life of the living water would be revealed in him. This is what Jesus does for us all. He washes those things away that need to be washed away. And reveals those things that need to be revealed to us. And then he walks with us in his light. And we drink of the living water. This is where we're at. This is where we're at with the Samaritan woman right now. See, the story doesn't end. Remember that first time you met Jesus. You remember that first time? I see some smiles out there. You might have to think back a little bit, but remember that first time that you met Jesus. Think of this Samaritan woman. When you sipped your first sip of the living water, do you remember that? I hope you do. I hope it fires you up a little bit. You can feel a little of that tingling in your bones that you did then. Do you know what I mean? When you first met Jesus. When you could not wait to share the love of Jesus. Do you remember that? I think of kids coming back from work camps and creation and all these things. And I just see the fire in them when they come back because they have found Jesus. He has lit them up and he has sent them out. And for a while that fire is burning real good and that living water is just quenching that thirst. But for some crazy reason, we lose it. Maybe you lost it. Maybe you need another drink. of the living water of Christ. But remember that feeling you got when you took that first sip? I hope so. And if not, I hope this sparks a little bit of that. But that fire in your belly and that thirst to be quenched, that's just what you need to be an evangelist for Christ. That's just what you need to be that. Jesus gives us that whole example right here, right before us. He got to know the lady at the well. He did everything. He met her at her place. He spoke her language. He opened up with an easy conversation. He went along and started to dig at what was really down deep inside there and reveal that to her. And then he revealed himself. He gave us the step-by-step evangelism techniques that we all need to do in our lives as well. And this is what the Samaritan woman did. She became an evangelist. Imagine that. You have this person who didn't know Jesus, and she still has a question about that. But now she's running to town. She's running to town, sharing her testimony, and just helping people learn about who Jesus is. And I jumped ahead a little bit, but it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you stand. It just doesn't matter where you are in life. God doesn't play favorites. He loves all of his children, no exceptions. And he'll love you as much as he loves anyone else. But this living water is for all of us. He will let you find a way to help others. This Samaritan woman left her water bucket, took off for the city when she finally saw Jesus, told the people, gave testimony, brought the people back, people through her testimony and through her story, got to taste the living water of Jesus. They accepted Jesus on that story, that testimony. They accepted Jesus. Some of them waited until they actually saw Jesus and accepted him there. But it was a beautiful time. They drank of the living water through this lady who had a checkered past, who Jesus grew to love. And this I picked up during my research from William Barclay in the Gospel of John. It states, at the heart of all this, there is a fundamental truth that in the human heart, there is thirst that's something that only Jesus Christ can satisfy. And that is so true. That was a beautiful statement I saw during my time of reading. And it is so true. We need to break down the barriers that bind us. We really need to find a way of reaching our full potential in Him. And we're all invited to the well to take a drink, to revive us, to live our lives fully in Him. Each one of you have been given an invitation to meet Him at the well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much. We ask your blessing upon this day. We ask your blessing upon each one here today, that they may go out and share their testimony with people, that they may walk with folks who need to be walked with, who are just looking for a place to find Jesus, looking for a place where they can feel love, looking for a place of kindness and hope. God, we just ask that you bring them to a place where they can drink the living water of Christ. Let us be that vessel to bring them to this place and help them find the living water of Christ. So, Father, bless each one here that's heard the word, and bless each one that will hear it later online. And, Father, we just ask your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen.